Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
Well, you're welcome to the LOI Score podcast on Off the Ball. 6 years of hurt came to an end this week as Shells wobbled but still win promotion to the Premier Division in the Droghouse. Dundalk breached the walls of Derry to bag their first cup in that treble trophy quest. Bad luck Bows couldn't beat the Blues as Waterford's win at Dalymount ends in controversial circumstances, while also the Saints slip in their Euro chase. You're very welcome to the podcast. I'm Stephen Doyle. I'm joined this week by the Grim Reaper of player ratings, Enda Cole, and also TV's smoothest League of Ireland presenter, Shane Dawson. Shane Dawson, you're welcome to the studio.
Pleasure to be here, Stephen.
It's great to have you here. Well, look, the main reason we have you here is because you're a dyed-in-the-wool Shells man. So we're going to kick off the First Division stuff this weekend. You're at United Park. It finished draw to United 1, Shelburne 1. The home team losing Sean Brennan. Shelburne 3, did I say once? My God, it's been a crazy weekend.
Yeah.
The Dubs winning the 5 in a row.
I'll allow it.
Anyway, draw to 1, Shelburne 3. The home team lost Sean Brennan in the 56th minute to a second booking before Aidan Friel scored for Shells in the 64th minute. A 77th minute equaliser then from Luke McNally made the Dubliners sweat, but Oscar Brennan and Lorcan Fitzgerald scored to seal the win. Forget about the technicalities of the game, Shane. What did it feel like when the two lads banged those goals in and you realised we're going up?
Utter euphoria. You know, it's been a long time coming, and it's very hard to sum up and kind of to put it into words. And for that feeling, even when you're 2-1 up or 3-1 up and there's only a minute left, as peak pessimistic Shelburne fans that they are, it's no, you can't celebrate yet. And then there's a few people singing Shells are going up, and there's a few other people trying to quiet them down because you don't want to believe it, really. But even talking to some of the older guys, because it was so long in the First Division compared to the last time when Shelburne went up and went back down, they said it was one of the best moments of their life, you know, supporting Shelburne, because it was better than Deportivo, better than Hadrick, because it just meant so much more. Because when you went up last time, there was a sort of inevitability about it that it was only a matter of time before Shells go back up. Whereas this time round, it was, as the years kept going on, it was grim, it was bleak, and you're like, what is the story here? What is the future here? And then you've talked about Dalymount, you've talked about, you know, just nothing positive really. And for then all to culminate in the manner that it did, and they made hard work of it as well. Yeah. Like, I think the sending off was a big game changer in it. You know, he's drawn his best player, so
yeah. Like, some of the match reports I read said maybe the 3-1 scoreline was a bit flattering, but
possibly, because I think Drogheda then pushed up and we caught them in. Now I know he got caught in the break as well, where Shells got caught in the break, but like, they crawled over the line in a way as well. Do you know what I mean? They left a few results behind them,
yeah,
and because there was so much pressure, I think, from the outside, all talk about Shelburne's budget and they're going to walk with the league and they're buying the league, which was never the case.
Yeah.
You know, firstly, they don't have the biggest budget in the First Division. And, you know, they brought in, it was good recruitment by Ian Morris and Dave Henderson and everyone involved there, because, like, if you look at the team that actually got promotion, you know, Jays, Denzel and Shane Farrell, all under 21. You've Oscar Brennan, Colin McCade, who got let go by Bows. Adrian Friel wasn't getting in a Finn Harps team. Mm. So you're putting all these players together with a manager who is young and inexperienced.
Yeah.
And then a couple of months in, there's calls for him to go, which I'll never get my head around that. And then, you know, give him time, and he's proven his worth, because he's gelled this team together. You know, Ryan Brennan was excellent. Luke Byrne, who has been haggard with injuries.
Hurt his centre-back as
exactly.
well, from full-back. Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? So he's playing in a position that's not familiar to him. He's playing football that's not familiar to him because he's been injured for so long.
Yeah.
And since the break, I'd say he's arguably player of the season. Lorcan Fitzgerald, who he's pushing on a bit, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely was fantastic throughout the season. There's consistency there as well. And, like,
I think Fitzgerald, like the likes of Fitzgerald, Kilduff, Conan Byrne as well, these kind of lads, their experience was probably hugely vital as the season wore on, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say, because there's a good core unit to that team as well. But then you take the likes of Dean Delaney, who has been a cult hero for Shelburne for many, many years.
Yeah.
Who came in as a first choice keeper. We didn't have a second choice until we signed McCabe late. Then Delaney made a few errors, lost his place. and then McCabe just steps up. But Dean Delaney has been absolutely excellent there, because he, I know he's been just a voice, a figurehead, a senior figure in the in that group. And we saw it against Bowes. He'd done exceptionally well against Bowes, albeit Shelvin came out on the wrong side of the result. But to have those people in there that you can call upon. Conan Byrne didn't see much game time near the latter end of the season, yet he was still there, and he's there able then to give advice to Denzel or Jay, or whoever it may be. And then, of course, Kieran Kilduff as well, who's been instrumental with some of the goals that he scored throughout the season. You know, we've grinded out results. You know, Shells have grinded out results, which is something not familiar to a Shelburne team. You know, there was draw to 1-0 in Tolka. There's matches that they saw out that in years gone by they wouldn't. So as much as there might be a bit more quality in the team and a bit more experience and a bit more flair, there's also more resilience, and mentally they're stronger.
Yeah.
And that's what I think ultimately saw them over the line.
It was funny that you mentioned, you know, it was better than Hajduk, it was better than Deportivo. And I actually did a documentary on that this year. And I went to Shells, I went into the stadium, and there was just a real buzz around the place. They were getting ready for a tournament that was on in the stadium that week, and there was people in cleaning the stadium, cleaning the staff, and I was chatting to some of the ground staff as well, and they were just buzzed by what was happening.
Yeah.
And I compared that to the season beforehand when Owen Harry was in charge. And like, I know the Shells fans really wanted Owen to do well because he's a club legend, and then it didn't end very well. But then this year, there just seemed to be a real drive about them and a real purpose. And I suppose that comes into the signings as well that you just made. Yeah.
Well, I think overall it's just been
a really buzz of a season for Shells, and this is the culmination of it.
Yeah.
What do you think the Bowes game was? And obviously, as you said, it came out in the wrong end of the result, but at that stage of the season where kind of Shells are probably playing at their best, come up against a Premier Division side, like a side they're battling for a European place, but to know that they can go toe-to-toe with a Premier, and I know it's only a one-off game, and maybe sometimes you can't read too much into it, but the fact that they tested themselves against a top Premier Division side, and, you know, they took Bowes right to to the edge, how much do you think that was it a benefit, do you think, going into the last couple of weeks?
Well, as much as I go on about mental dominance and stuff like that, I fear that it would have the opposite effect.
Yeah.
That it would get to them in being like, oh, geez, we can't see a game out, and that it would really kind of cripple their confidence. But you know, I suppose
they did play really well that game, and they matched Bowes, I thought, for a lot of the game.
They did, and to be fair, I think to show that strength that they can compete, and that's going to, I think, then go on. Okay, we see out this season, but then for Shelburne next season, it'll be very interesting to see what budget Andrew Doyle gives Ian Morris, and again, what recruitment he brings in, because being in Dublin as well, it's going to obviously be a benefit to try and attract a few players geographically. Decky Devine's always given out about that up in Derry and so forth, but what he can do next season, that must galvanise them to know we can compete. And Bowes has done excellently this season. You know, as you're saying, challenging for Europe, and Keith Long and Trevor Crowley have done exceptional work.
Yeah.
And all the, like, fair play to them. But it may be a one-off game, but you know you can compete. Now, I'm not saying Shelburne are going to go up next year and challenge for anything. You know, if Shells go up and they stay up, that's successful season, happy days. Mm-hmm. But for that, again, I think just to have that mental fortitude and that really kind of togetherness to go on. And I'm sure Ian Morris knows that. And I think Ian Morris has really gelled together a group so well in a relatively short period of time. You know what I mean? To kind of come on board and to take ownership of, this is my team, which he hasn't done before with a senior team, and to say, this is who I want playing for the club. This is the style I want, and this is the attitude I want, and that comes from him and Jason McGuinness and the backroom staff there, but that comes from the top, and to show that leadership, and because he was unproven, and I was never in the Morris out fan group at the start of the season.
Well, I suppose that gives an indication of the pressure he was under.
Yeah, exactly.
First time as a manager, as a senior manager, it wasn't like,
and to come through,
that's a hard thing to deal with.
Yeah, and to come through it, and you know, I think, well, may look back on this, I think I might say Shells crawled over the line a bit, but to actually see it out and grind it out, like, fair play to them, you know, because it's as you go back to that kind of positivity, there's a great feel, there's a new owner, you know, there's a buzz back in Tolka Park, you know, there's more fans there, there's a better atmosphere, because I think going back previously, there was a lot of kind of anti-Daily Mount sentiment and didn't like the structures of the club, and there was a big big division between board of management and the fans, and that's being broken down. Like at the start of the season, there was meetings between fans and the board of management, so there's more, there's dialogue there, there's more just of a togetherness, because Shelburne are a relatively small fan base and they more splinter groups and divisions than God knows what.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're going into that thinking, oh, he's not talking to him and they're not talking to them, you're like, what's the point of that? Mm. So I think everyone grew up a little this season and everyone matured a little and said, you know what, let's put everything out on the table. Okay, I protested about that, he protested about that, I didn't like you releasing a statement about this, and everyone was honest and open with each other. Mm. And because of that, then there's a better atmosphere in Talca Park, there's a better atmosphere for the players, there's a better atmosphere encouraging the players. Mm. And that can only benefit the club as a whole, because there's no one thing is Shelburne. Like, mm. your manager is not just Shelburne, your fans are not just Shelburne. It's a whole collective effort. Mm. And because of that collective effort came together, in my belief and in my eyes, that's the reason Shelburne are back in the Premier Division, not just because of Kieran Kilduff scoring a few goals or a new owner coming in throwing a few quid here. Like, it's a collective effort, and it's been so long that I think after the match there was a lot of people celebrating, but a lot of people kind of just sitting in the stand and just even composing themselves, and it's just
just relief.
Yeah,
and this is the thing, and as well, as Shane was talking about the crowds, you know, we saw a massive crowd go up to United Park for that game on Friday. Sold out match at United Park. We haven't seen that in a long, long time. As well, we saw the game at Dalyman Park. The atmosphere there was incredible that night. So this is good news for the whole of the Premier Division, because we're going to see, and you know, for I would never be one to, you know, I suppose, dismiss or to slag off UCD, because they've provided some great players for the league, and they do, you know, there's some great work done out there as well. But with regards to attendances at matches and atmosphere at matches, this is a huge boon for the whole division.
Yeah, but even like if you look at the St. Pat's UCD game on Friday night, the attendance was really, really poor for a game that was in Dublin between two Dublin sides. And as well as the attendances, it also makes it a little bit more competitive as well, because I was actually going to just butt in there and say that Shells actually do have a real chance of staying up. Like, the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of teams going up that have been really good footballing sides but really lax at the back. You know, you're looking at UCD, the way they were playing this year and last year, how they got up. Drogheda a few years ago, Limerick, if you want to go back even further, they're all footballing sides. But Shells are really good defensively. I mean, they conceded 19 goals in the league this year. And that's the kind of team that's going to stay up and be actually competitive.
Yeah.
So it's one thing having a team that has a good fan base, but it's another thing having a team that's going to be competitive with that fan base. Mm. I mean, the fan base is only going to be there as long as you are being competitive in these games. If you're going to Bowes and you're getting thrashed 6-1, 6-0, 10-1 as UCD were this year, the fans aren't going to turn up. Mm. So you need that. You need the base of the team there before you get the attendances. But how special is it going to be if Dalyman Park hosts Shells versus Bowes next year?
I'm even thinking Talla Stadium. I'm sure Shells would get as big a crowd maybe as Bowes might get going over to Talla Stadium for a Rovers game. Like, that'll be incredible. The Ringsend rivalry renews.
Exactly. There'd be plenty more Dublin derbies to go around. But
just, and it's an interesting point actually Enda makes, because that is, you know, if you're going to be successful in the Premier Division, you need a good defence. And I suppose maybe to take it a little bit further, how much of this team do you think Ian can hold together for next season? How many of these players can he keep at the club?
I'd like to think the vast majority of them.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why a lot of them would move on. Mm. There seems to be a real genuine togetherness, even from kind of talking to the players off the record or just chatting to the lads. You know, they do love it there, and they seem to all buy into Ian's philosophy and Ian's togetherness that he created at the club. So, like, Dean Delaney might retire next year, and if he does, fair play to him. He's been an absolute gem. You know, he's come back to the club, the likes when people needed to go back, you know, to the club, when they were on their knees, Dean came back, Jim Crawford came back, people like that. So if Dean goes, Colin McCabe might be there. He's been excellent, you can't fault him. Yeah. He might look to bring in maybe a more experienced senior goalkeeper. You look at the back four then, you've Wilson, who's been injured for a lot of the season. Friel's done well. Prendergast and Luke have been excellent together, and I imagine Luke is going to stay there now for a foreseeable future anyway, because he's coaching the underage teams as well. So he's really kind of, it's been a new life for him. Larkin could be there as well, and you've Oscar, you've Ryan Brennan, and from what I gather anyway, talking to people, that, you know, the core will still be there. Kieran Cluduff should be there. Jay's Denzel are only getting started at the club. Shane Farrell's now definitely going to be there for next year, and he's growing. And, you know, there's lads there that are a bit slight that are going to grow with Shelburne, because Shelburne's got some excellent players in the first division. You know, Kevin Dawson, Dave McGill, David Cassidy. Players, Andy Boyle played for Shells. Yeah. You know, players have come to Shelburne and performed and then gone on further afield. So it's an attractive, and again, being in Dublin as well, I think is a big draw as well. Now, obviously, they're going to be competing with Bowes, but people, I think, can be attracted to Shells because there is that kind of positive buzz back. So if he can retain the core of that team and then possibly add one or two more, then they should be competitive in terms of, not competitive, but they shouldn't be struggling for relegation. They should be kind of seventh, maybe sixth, seventh, you know, and then hopefully push on even further if you want to get a bit too optimistic. But it depends on, again, it depends on what budget Andrew Doyle gives to Ian Morris. And I think it's been a case of, I haven't seen any, and I'm open to correction, but I haven't seen any business plans that forecasted for us not going up this year. So I think there is probably a bit of a relief from the board of management as well that, all right, we made it up, we got there in the end, albeit with just with one game to go. So we're still on course for what we have. Now, I'm not privy to any figures, facts and figures precisely, but that, and when Andrew Doyle talked to the fans at the start of the season as well, he talked about this kind of whole, it's not just a 1 year thing, he's putting X amount into the club and then we'll see where we go. But once his money is gone, it's gone. So there's no point in people thinking this is going to be another Ollie Byrne 2.0 where we're just going to rock in to the Premier Division next year and just, you know, buy everyone and be robbing players from Bowes just to sit in our bench and so on. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be a lot more sustainable and reasonable as well. So as much as you can wish for all the big names in, you have to be smart in how he recruits. And I think Dave Henderson being there is an excellent, Stephen Henderson as well being there is excellent, that they know players. I'm sure Stephen had a part to play in bringing Denzel and Jays up from Cove. So, you know, if you're going to recruit smartly and affordable players, then that's going to be the key to it. But it's just going to be about how smart Ian and the Hendersons can be in their recruitment. Because I think for the most part, he'll keep the core of the team, so it's just about who comes in.
Exciting times at Talca Park, and I suppose to help you fund all that kind of thing as well, you want more maybe members in the club, you want more bums on seats, and no harm done when you've got a couple of Dublin football heroes, the likes of Jeremy Connolly and Cormac Coslow, outing themselves as Shelburne fans at the weekend. Unbelievable.
And I believe Dermo has replied to Shelburne Twitter saying that he will be there on Saturday. So
good to hear.
Might be a VIP section if there is such a thing in Talca Park.
In all seriousness though as well, excuse me, it does no harm to the club because you might get a couple of casual soccer fans who maybe wouldn't go to a League of Ireland match, but then they hear all of a sudden Jeremy Connolly and Cormac Costello are heading along, they might go, ah, here we go, down to see Shells.
Well, it's actually, no harm. Just on that, not because Jeremy Connolly was saying it or Cormac Costello was saying it, but I've actually had a couple of mates who live in Drumcondra who have said to me they're delighted that Shells have gone up because now they have a team. They could have went to Bowes, but they never really had a connection to Bowes. But they've actually gone to a couple of games in Talca Park because it's closer to them. And they said they're delighted the Shells are going up. They don't support Shells, but they just have something to do on a Friday night.
Exactly.
And they want to go see, watch good competitive football. And you might actually get a couple of casual fans, you know, coming along to the games. Most of the people who are moving towards Dublin now, football fans, want to find a team to support. And, you know, at the Shells, one of the biggest clubs to do it.
That's it. Well, look, could we have two Dublin clubs going up? Because Cavan Teely, after just 4 years in the SSE Electricity League, have booked their place in the promotion playoffs as well. Kieran Marty Waters, what a legend of the league. He scored a brace, and there was one from Robert Manley as well in the first half, which saw Cabo win 3-1 against Athlone Town, whose goal was scored by Nika Kalandashrivili. I hope I got that right.
Says you.
Anyway, Cabo lads. Interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, they've done exceptionally well. Yeah. And fair play to them. Wasn't expecting anything. Rob Manley's an excellent Shelburne fan, actually. Rob Manley, he's been brilliant. And even actually during the summer break, I was more like, if it was a Shelburne investor, I'd be like, try to get Rob on board because he's done really well. I think their goalkeeper is definitely contender for goalkeeper of the year in the first division team. He's been excellent. So again, they've grinded out results. I'd imagine Stradbrook has helped them somewhat.
Yeah.
Not the nicest of pitches. You know. Lovely atmosphere. I'm not saying now it's not a right moody gaffer or anything, but I think it's just a pitch really. Yeah. So I'm sure that's got them a couple of points, but you know, fair play to them, play to the surrounds, you know. Mm-hmm. But they've done exceptionally well, and getting to a playoff I think is an achievement in itself.
Yeah.
And there is, and it's a nice little ground to go to as well. One of the few that you can watch the pitch from the bar as well. So
exactly,
always a positive.
Well, even if they don't go up, it's a successful season for them, because I just wrote down a couple of stats that from this season. They've had the most wins in the league ever, the most points, the most home wins, and the most clean sheets, and their striker's the top scorer in the league.
Yeah.
So you can't really argue with those.
Yeah, and I know Kieran Waters was out for a while injured as well, so they played a lot of games without him.
The only issue for them is it's a bit of a Bray situation where they're so far out that they're a Dublin side, but they're not quite a Dublin side, so whether they'll get the support going through the next couple of years is going to be
They're bang in the middle of rugby country. It doesn't help, does it? But listen, we'll go into the playoffs maybe more heavily as we come closer to the time. Just briefly though, Andrada, because wow, what a run they were on. Last 15 league matches, 13 wins, one draw, one defeat. And just a little quick mention on them, because you saw them on Friday night, obviously, Shane. You'd have to, momentum, it's all about momentum going into these playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Shell's defeat is going to really throw their momentum too much. I think they're going to be still okay heading into the playoffs. And you'd have to look at them as favourites, especially when they've got a goal scorer like Chris Lyons as well in form.
Yeah, no, 100%. I don't think it will distract them too much, you know what I mean? They're a great footballing side. I think Tim Clancy and Kevin Doherty have done excellent. They've signed another deal, I think it's 2 years now they're here anyway for next season.
Yeah.
definitely anyway, so there's a bit of solidity there as well, but they're a really good footballing team. So are Longford, to be fair. You know, I have to say, Neil Fenn done really well there. Yeah. I think his departure may have destabilised them somewhat. I'd imagine Drogheda would be favourite to go up anyway from the first division playoff, but at the same time you've played 6 matches.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big ask.
It's one of the hardest divisions to get out of.
If
you don't win the league, it's very, very difficult to go up.
And Cabin City as well could pick up form as they go along in those playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a strange animal. Well, look, just to tidy up in the first division, unfortunately for Bray Wanderers, their 2-1 win at Longford Town meant nothing in the end. Dean Williams with the late penalty winner there after John Martin equalised. The early opener from Dean Byrne for Longford, who ended with 9 men in that game. Limerick 4, Wexford 1 was the score down in Limerick. And back-to-back wins for Galway United, sealing those 2 wins last night. 7-1 hammering of Cove at home on Friday. 4 goals in that one for Mark Ludden. And 3-2 win at Limerick last night. Just on those sides, I suppose, left behind in the playoffs, Bray and Galway specifically, I suppose, they're the 2 clubs who have real ambitions of trying to get up this year. Like Galway, if they get that investment from the Comer brothers, you know, that could be a big help for them next season. Bray, just building nicely after all the problems that they've had. I'd imagine they'd be pretty happy with their season as well. So I don't know how much of Bray and Galway you've seen, Shane, but...
not an overly large amount, but I think Galway should be okay. I think if they get the investment and... They should be fine kind of going forward. I don't think it was make or break for them to go up this season.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was nailed on for them. Bray, if I was a Bray fan, I'd be disappointed.
Okay.
I think they definitely should have made the playoffs. I think they've probably done well enough. And that's, having said that, when I say they definitely should have made the playoffs, that's taking nothing away from Cabin Teal or anything. The teams that are ahead of them are there on merit.
Yeah.
You know, but at the start of the season, I would have expected them to be a bit higher up the table as well. Even maybe it was ignorance on my behalf, I wasn't really kind of paying much attention to Longford. Then my eyes would have been Shelburne, Drogheda and Bray that would have been battling out for the top spot and then going down at the playoffs. But so Galway, I wouldn't be too concerned. I think they should be okay. And for Bray, I'd be a little disappointed. But at the same time, for Bray especially, you want to talk about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just get our house in order off the pitch and let's be happy here, make sure everything is all above board off the pitch, and then we can concentrate on the pitch and see what happens. But it's like, listen, as gone to many Shelburne matches in the first division for many years, it is a graveyard and it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
And when you're down there, you know, you know it, you feel it, you know all about it, that it is, it's not great. So the sooner you can get yourself out of there, the better. And then you go into restructuring the league and everything, so
absolutely,
who knows.
Well, we move on to the Premier Division, and three games last Friday night. Bohemians 1, Waterford 2. Rory Feely with a header there for the Blues. Ross Tierney equalised for Bows before Tom Holland fired in a superb winner with 6 minutes to go. There was late controversy when Kevin Lynch looked to have fisted the ball from a late corner after Bows keeper James Talbot headed towards the net. Penalty, lads, was it?
By the new rules, you're going yes.
By any rules.
Yeah.
But by the new rules especially. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you could argue that, you know, he didn't mean it, but he meant it, and it was a penalty. And it's actually, it's really annoyed me because it was the first corner that I've seen in probably about 10 years that a keeper went up for it, actually got his head on the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you always see the keeper going up, and it's completely pointless because they never get anywhere near it. And then James Talbot finally gets on it.
Well, it was funny because I was down the other end of the ground, and Talbot was kind of, you know, he wasn't too sure will I go or not. Yeah. He was like looking over Keith Long, and the whole of the Jolie stand was roaring at Talbot, get up, get up, get up. And then eventually Long saw him and says, go on, get up, get up. And he did. And then.
Yeah, and for that to happen.
But it was just, yeah, like, listen, you do feel for the. It was Neil Doyle refereeing. Yeah. I feel for him because it's one of those situations where after a few television replays, you know, you could see, well, maybe not after a few, after one you could see it looked like a handball. But in the, you know, in real time, when you're there refereeing the game. Now, that said, like, a defender puts his arm up in the air like that, you're kind of going, well, you know, there's no reason for it to be up there, is there?
If if it is a penalty, does Talbot hit it?
No, I doubt it very much. Yeah, yeah. Well, and the funny thing was Danny Mandrew wasn't playing, so it would have been interesting to see who would have taken responsibility there. Maybe Andre Wright, I'd say. But
Kev Lynch meant that, by the way. Knowing Kev Lynch, like, I know Kev Lynch, he 100% meant that. Because well, I meant to drop him a text and he'd say, oh, I was just trying to, you know, get more elevation. It's like, no, you 100% meant that.
If you can get away with it, you get away with it. I mean, it's all part of the game. I think Waterford must have been listening to us because ever since I criticised them a few weeks ago, they haven't lost the game.
Well, also, I want to talk about Waterford because we'll come back to Bowes because we're going to go into the FAI Cup stuff later. But I wanted to focus on Waterford because it's very easy for all the troubles they had this season, the European football taken away from them, a lot of players left in the summer, very easy for them lads to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And they're still fighting there, trying to, and you know, even though they're not going to get into Europe or anything like that, the players are still playing for Alan Reynolds. Yeah.
It must have been so demoralising with how it kind of panned out, you know, and to really think that they're signing players on the basis of we're going to be in Europe here and we're going to have a crack at this, and then for it to go that way, to kind of just gee yourself back up then and to kind of get going again and then have to refigure what your goals are for the whole season. Like, Alan Reynolds has done an exceptional job there, even trying to, you know, keep that player, and then you lose Bastianeri, you know, so you're losing players as well. Okay, they brought in Michael O'Connor, and Figuera,
You know, well, what Figuera has been very impressive.
Yeah, no, he has. So they've bought well as such. You know, they've you know, had good kind of players that come in, but even to kind of turn that around and, you know, just be able to compete. And okay, they haven't done great. You know, they were a couple of times where you were looking over your shoulders at Finn Harps maybe or something like that to thinking, okay, maybe might be a bit squeaky bum time here, but it hasn't been. They've grinded out again, and I go back to my point of just play for the shirt, old school, 11 lads just mucking in, you know what I mean? And they've done that, and they've done really well. So I think they'd be really proud of their efforts that, okay, they didn't compete maybe in trophies and didn't do well as last year, but it's a completely different situation. Yeah. And to even just have that togetherness to be able to perform like that is an achievement in itself, so you know, you have to be proud of that.
And built on a strong back four as well, I think, Enda, because I've seen a couple of Waterford games recently. I think Lynch has been excellent. He's played full back, centre back. Rory Feely, the captain, he's been leading by example, former Kildare GA footballer, he's been excellent as well. Coogan, I think, has been excellent. Coogan didn't give Andre Wright an inch of space on Friday night, so yeah, just thought that the back four have been their impressive kind of line in that team.
Yeah, and probably going forward was the biggest issue for them this year. They weren't, like, when they were losing, they weren't getting thrashed. It was always like a late jammy goal, or not a late jammy goal, but a late goal that was scrappy, that they were holding on for a draw late on, and then, you know, the likes of Derry knock in one late, and you know, it just hasn't gone right for them this year at all in that sense. And to be a little bit more cynical about it, maybe they're playing for contracts, maybe they're playing for, this is the time of year that you need to perform, and they're doing that. And to be fair, it works out in Waterford's favour as well, and it'll work out in their favour. So they've secured safety. Yeah. That's all that's important this year. Whether Alan Reynolds will stay on or not is another situation next year.
They've leaders there, though, as well.
They do. Yeah. Like, it's a good. They have a good collective of players, and I am being cynical and saying they're playing for contracts, but they probably are playing for contracts. That's just the nature of the league. Yeah. But once they didn't get Europe, and then they started slipping down, we were worrying about them a couple of weeks ago, and they went eight games, I think they lost in a row, and now they've started to build up again. They've secured a place in the league, and that's the most important thing.
Well, look, moving on to St. Pat's and UCD then, a finished scoreless at Richmond Park on Friday night. Stephen O'Donnell's first home game as manager of the Saints. Not one, not two, but three goals ruled off sides in that game. Very frustrating night for St. Pat's fans. I think as well, Jamie Lennon's been missing the last couple of games. I was just checking the website. There's no information being given out as regards to an injury or whatever. I'm gathering it's an injury, but Stephen O'Donnell seems to be, you know, he's kind of playing the GAA manager at the moment. He's not giving us any information whatsoever. I think Lennon's just a big loss for Pat's because he pulls all the strings and deep in their midfield, doesn't he?
100%. And I think as a whole, Pat's have underperformed. If, like, you look at that squad that they have and the quality of players that they have in that team, you know, they could be, you know, challenging for a title. Yeah. You know what I mean? They do have that quality there. So it'll be very interesting to see how Stevie O'Donnell gets on. You know, he's a great lad and he's a good football man, as they say, but he has the brain for it. You know what I mean? So I think it's a case now, see out the rest of the season and then put your mark on it then. So make this my team, because he's just he's come in when they're not going to be, you know, doing much at the end of the season. So it's more so, what can I do and what can I bring to this club? Because again, he's an unproven manager, and it's great to see. It's another point, the likes of Ian Morris, the likes of Steve O'Donnell getting the chances, that it's not just the same old merry-go-round of managers just going from Club A to Club B to Club C, that it's new young guys coming here that will hopefully bring a breath of fresh air, because Pat's, they're going to try something different, and fair play for giving him the opportunity. So now in the off-season, just see out the season, in the off-season, what can I do to make St. Pat's my own? And hopefully, I really hope to see him do well. Like, Pat's is a great club, it's an old Dublin institution, and for them to progress over the next couple of years. But for Pat's fans, not to just think it's going to be an overnight fix. Yes, we've got quality players, but again, it's going to be a new management team here. So what will that bring, and will that be successful or not? Well, only time will tell, but I think it will be if you give him the time in the off season. Like, he's coming in a good time now, right off this season, and then next year we go again.
It's a tough run in ender for them. Do you think they'll still have a chance, I mean, of making Europe?
I don't think that so this year, just because Derry have a game in hand on them.
Yeah.
And I think Derry are going to finish the season strong by the looks of it. They could well end up finishing fourth, like, depending on how Bowes go. I know Bowes have a difficult run in and they have a lot of injuries. But when eventually, I don't see them getting Europe this year. So the off season is going to be interesting for them, because I don't think they plan not to get Europe this season. They showed real intent in the transfer window at the start of the year, and whether or not they plan not to be in Europe is going to be a big thing. So Stevie O'Donnell could be coming into a club that could lose some of these good players that they have.
It could be in limbo a bit then.
So if that gets thrown up in the air, and he's kind of unaware of, I'm sure he wouldn't have went into the club without these sort of guarantees that they're going to hold on to a certain amount of players.
Yeah.
But if they do lose a couple of their players, especially in the midfield, you'd start to worry about, is Stevie O'Donnell going to get the worst possible start to his managerial career, where he has to rebuild from the start again, and he's just starting as a mid-table club that has no ambition of Europe next year again? But, you know, it is a disappointing year for St. Pat's in the end up. Like, if they don't get Europe, that is a disappointing year. They have the squad for it.
Yeah.
And I think recruiting as well, though. Now that Shelburne are back in the Premier Division, there could be a few players that Pat's might have been nailed on to go to them.
That's an interesting aspect. Look, Finn Harp's in a bit of trouble. We'll focus more on them maybe in the coming weeks as we reach the end of the season. The EA Sports Cup final on Saturday night, it was the first step in, well, I say first step, obviously it's been building over the season, but the first final in Dundalk's assault on the treble.
Yeah.
A historic treble it would be. You're up there, Shane, and I'm working for Air Sport.
I was indeed.
It was at, I was actually at Croke Park, so didn't even get to see the game, but a dramatic night by all accounts.
Yes, very much so. A decent game as well, 2-2. It seems to be the go-to result when Derry and Dundalk play each other. I knew it was going to be close and edgy and tetchy at times as well, because over the course of 90 minutes, any time the two teams have played each other, they've been draws. It took late extra time goal to beat them in the FAI Cup. Dundalk got the victory in that, so went all the way to penalties, and it was dramatic. But like, I interviewed Declan Devine during the week, and just that fresh air he's brought back to Derry.
Yeah, you know, I heard that interview actually. He's such a nice fella to talk to, isn't he?
Like, he really is. No, he is. He's a top man.
Kind of, his enthusiasm is very contagious, isn't it?
Yeah, no, he does. He makes you feel at ease. And and he's honest with you as well. But he embodies what Derry City's about. That's a club that's gone through so much. You know, lows and tragic lows as well, off the pitch as well. And he's rebuilt them, and he's brought that life back. There's a new brand new, the Ryan McBride brand new brand. It's the first time in 14 years that it was sold out.
Yeah.
You know, which was fantastic to see. There's just that energy. There's something about Derry when you go up there, either as a fan or as a reporter, that there is a bit of life to it. So even on the sideline, Air Sport should have stuck a camera on him, because I was watching him more so than I was watching the match. The most animated man on the sideline that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like I say, if he had a GPS tracker, he was covering more yards than most of his players, because he's just up and down. But he was, and he feeds off that. And he was like turning around to the crowd and getting the crowd going as well, and really trying to see them over the line. And for it to lose a cup final in penalties is never nice. I know Derry beat Shelburne in penalties in the League Cup in 06 or 07, I think it was, as well. So he was there at the time. But then on the other side of that, as you say, going for the treble hasn't been done 30 years ago. It was Derry City who done it, Jim McLaughlin. So, who actually Derry beat Dundalk, ironically enough, in that League Cup. But for Dundalk, I interviewed Vinnie Pert, and Michael Duffy was man of the match after the match. And the two of them, like, not to throw them under the bus here, but they were welling up almost. You know, there was that emotion that Vinnie Pert has been with that Dundalk side for so long, and he's won trophies with them as a coach, as part of the Dundalk unit. And you can say that it's all about the team effort. But then I think I posed the question to him, I was like, Vinnie, this is the first trophy, you're the main man. Like, you know, this as you're in charge. And, you know, it was genuine kind of just relief, I suppose, as well, because there's a lot of talk about the treble, and you're trying to block that outside noise out and just concentrate on your own game, you know. So to finally get that as the main man, I say, was something special. And then for Michael Duffy as well to get a cracker of a goal back up in Derry as well, it meant a bit more. It was a special night. Like, I don't want to be too emotive and over egg this, but it was, and you could feel it even in the stand. Like, you know, I'll hold my hands up here, probably would have preferred to be in Croke Park standing on Hill 16. But even when I was there, you could feel it. And like, I've no affiliation to Derry or Dundalk.
Yeah.
But there, you kind of, you know, you get caught up in it almost as well. And that's because how passionate Declan Devine is and how much it means to that Dundalk group, who are a fantastic group.
Do we think, briefly, what way will that result go for Derry City? Because obviously they've got bigger fish to fry now. Trying to get into Europe, could that result damage them, or could it give them motivation? Or
I don't think so, because they had a similar result a few weeks ago, and you know, like you were saying, there's something building in Derry, and everyone can feel it.
Yeah.
And these younger players, they're going as hard as they can for this title. And I remember, or for the European place, and I was speaking to a couple of the players before the season started, and I was asking, "Oh, how do you think yous will do this year?" And they were like, "Oh, really? I hope just maybe fourth, like." Try push on, and they've overachieved for where they wanted to be this year. So they've got their eyes on the prize now. They've got a game in hand. And I was saying to you off air as well, they've got the exact same fixture list as Bowes.
Yeah.
So, except they have Finn Harps at the end of the season. That could go one or two ways. So I think it's still going to come down to the game on Friday night against Bowes. If they win that, they've got the momentum, and they've got that game in hand against Finn Harps. But Finn Harps could need to win that game.
Exactly.
Stay up. So
we look at the weekend's fixtures in a moment. I just want to touch on first last night, just to tidy up the FAI Cup quarterfinal between Crumlin United and Bohemians. I was down there myself at Richmond Park. 2,150 people on a Monday night. That was a fantastic crowd at Richard. Big travelling Bohemians crowd. Andre Wright scored in the first half. I think I saw a couple of reports saying it was a tap in from. Now, I was right behind the goal, and that ball was fired across by Danny Grant. And Andre Wright did not know an awful lot about that goal, I can tell you that much. Andy Lyons then, the right back, with his first senior goal for the Gypsies to seal the win. I have to say, Crumlin were actually very good. You know, for Leinster senior league side or amateur side, interesting enough, all wearing GPS trackers in their shirts, which I thought was this is a really high technology here for an amateur side. Really good, strong defensive side. Few ex-League of Ireland players there, the likes of Craig Walsh, Dean Kelly was in there as well, Thomas Hyland. So yeah, good performance by Crumlin. But looking at Bowes, and again like Friday night, just so many injuries, and coming at the wrong time of the season. You got Danny Mandrew, hip injury, again, playing for the Irish under-21s. Darragh Leahy hurt his ankle playing for the under-21s. Keith Ward is out. Keith Buckley's out. Conor Levingston's out. Still long-term absentees, Dinny Corcoran and Christian McGarrison. Like, it's really not ideal for Bohemians coming into the crescendo of the season when they need these players.
Yeah, I think they've been hit with injuries throughout the season.
Yeah.
You know, a few times. I think the back four as well has changed. I don't know the figures in front of me now, but like a lot, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's Keith Long's done wonderfully well. And it's the young lads coming through, like the likes of young Devoy, Ross Tierney, Danny Grant as well. There's something about, you know, Keith Long having an eye for a player, even bringing back Levingston, you know what I mean, and or getting Talbot on board from the Ga. Like, he's done wonderfully well. And I think, not take anything away from the players, it's the players who get your results, but Keith Long, exceptional.
I'd say, and as well, if you're a Bowes fan, somebody tells you at the start of the season you're going to be in third position with five games to go, you're in the semi-final, you've been in the semi-final of a League Cup, you're in the semi-final of an FAI Cup. It was pretty impressive from Keith Long.
Yeah.
And Trevor Crowley.
This season has been incredible for Bowes. Like, even if you... if you're looking at the start of the season and you're seeing this young side picking up results, you're still... a part of you is still thinking, you know, it's early doors. They might not be able to hold this form until the end of the season, but they have. And they've shown real maturity this year. And as well as the players that Keith Long has brought in from the youth development squad, like, I think Andre Wright has been brilliant since got through into the first team, and if they can hold on to him for next year.
Right, they signed, brought in from the UK.
Mm. Yeah, so
a fantastic addition to the squad.
It was a brilliant addition, and they needed that. They needed a striker after Denny Corcoran got injured, and if they can hold on to him again next year, he'll be a good substitute for Denny Corcoran when he comes back. And
I think he could even threaten Denny's starting place.
Yeah, so
from what I've seen,
Swan's done as well.
Yeah, Swan has been
well.
Actually, shouldn't be forgetting.
You know what I mean? And you're putting a lot of pressure on a lot of young lads.
Yeah.
So it is about recruitment. You know. So
absolutely. Well, we look at the fixtures before we go for this week. I'll fly to the first division ones first, because I suppose there's really nothing to play for now. We know who the playoffs are. But Athlone Town hosting Galway United. Bray Wanderers are home as well. They play Drogheda United. I suppose it's an important game for Drogheda. They need to, I suppose, just get another win.
Yeah, and again, you want a bit of form going into the playoffs as well.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, you're playing six matches ultimately.
Yeah. And Drogheda have a couple of weeks off, actually, while the other teams play out. So they need to try and keep that momentum going. Cove Ramblers against Longford Town, I suppose, Drogheda as well. And that Longford just need to get a decent result away to Cove, who've been kind of, I suppose, declining really as the season's kind of wore on.
It hasn't gone well for them after Steve Henderson
left. Shells playing Limerick at Talca Park. I'm sure there might be a few hungover Shells players starting that game.
Well, they want to beat Limerick. Let's not forget what Limerick done to Shells.
Well, of course.
Conor Scanlon's goal. So, there'll be a few...
a revenge mission of sorts.
There better be a result there anyway if you're a Shelburne fan.
And I suppose, look, Talca Park as well, you want to sign off, you know, give the fans a good result before you go up into the Premier.
Yeah.
And the Ferry Carrick Park then, to finish off the First Division regular fixtures for the season. It's Wexford hosting Cabinteely. And then looking at the Premier Division lads this weekend, Cork City hosting Finn Harps. Neil Fenn. I suppose they're safe enough from relegation, aren't they, from the playoffs?
Should be fine.
They just could probably do with another three or six points, maybe, just to see it off.
Make sure a bit of extra comfort.
And it is a six-pointer. Finn Harps, if they win that Turner's Cross... that could be
Ollie Horgan's done exceptionally well there. They were done a bit of a run of form as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of time they were on Air Sport, they were winning, so Ollie Horgan's allowed to have our cameras up there.
You wouldn't be surprised to see Finns getting a win there, would you, in Turner's Cross?
They got one last time.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they got one again, given how Cork's defence is just, it's bizarrely terrible.
Yeah.
Like, for a team who have been so defensive for the last couple of years, they just seem to have forgotten how to do the basic things and, you know, stick a couple of high balls in there like Finn Harps are going to do and cause a bit of damage that way.
Sligo away to UCD, a big win for them last week, 3-1. They're scoring goals, Sligo, and they want to keep that going because they've got an FAI Cup semi-final then the following week against Dundalk. So, I don't know, Shane, if you're Liam Buckley, are you going to rest players or do you want to keep them playing and keep them in form or what do?
You want that bit of form going into it because packed out showgrounds is going to be a difficult place for Dundalk to go to. And, you know, certainly, you know, everyone kind of writing this whole Dundalk Rovers or Dundalk Bowls final, like there's your team talk written first off. And second off, I think you would want that bit of form going into it. And you're playing against a team you should, in theory, defeat.
Yeah.
So maybe you will have that opportunity to rest a few guys, but at the same time, you want a result and you want that winning mentality to keep going and bring it into Dundalk, and that's going to be a hell of a cup tie.
Yeah, it certainly is. So Sligo away to UCD. Then we've got Waterford hosting Dundalk. You know, Dundalk's unstoppable march to the league title, I'd imagine, won't stutter here down at the RSC, and it?
No, I can see them probably resting a couple of players for that game just to keep them in line, make sure they get no needless injuries now that they're going to win the league. It's wrapped up. It's just whether they want to win it with finesse is the question, and they probably will.
The other two games then, I suppose the focus will really be on the race for the top four because you've got Shamrock Rovers at home against St. Pat's. They're always brilliant games, Rovers and Pat's. This one's at Tallaght Stadium. It kicks off at 8 on Friday night. The rest are all at 7:45. But Rovers, look, they've consolidate second place really at this stage. It's all about the cup for them now, but they want to get a good result. Pats are still in that race for top four. Can we see maybe Pats getting a point or two, or point or three I should say, at Tallaght Stadium?
In short, no, I don't think so. I can't see it, to be honest. I think Rovers have done really well. At the same time, again, you go back to the whole kind of having that bit of run of form going into a big cup semi-final. But I think, the strength and depth that Rovers have and the kind of, there's just something not right in Pats and in Cork as well. There's just something not clicking. And I think that's the same with Pats at the moment. I know they're fifth or sixth in the table. So I think realistically, Europe won't be achieved this year. So again, I kind of go back to that point of just see out the season and start fresh next year. But I think Rovers will finish off on a high, and I think for Rovers fans, they'll want obviously the league to finish off the league on a high. You're not going to win it, but at the same time, it's been a fair few years since you've won a cup as well, so I think there's a select few Rovers fans that I know even that would prefer the cup to the league just because
absolutely.
It's been so long.
I'd imagine as well, though, after beating Bowes in that last Dublin derby, they want to get back-to-back Dublin derby wins in the league. I suppose, though, the big game of the week and there will be up in the brand Well, the Roy McBride Brandywell Stadium, Derry City hosting Bohemians. It's a European place, 6-pointer. This is going to be a cracking game.
Yeah, it should be, and the Brandywell should probably be packed as well.
Yeah.
Depending on the weather, the weather's a big thing, and I think it played a role in the cup final on Friday
because the wind.
Once that Astro gets wet, the ball's going everywhere. There's no control in it, and Derry are kind of used to that.
Yeah.
So, and also the wind is dreadful. It's just like a wind tunnel.
These soft-bellied, windy dubs going up to Derry, just not able for the bad weather.
I just think Derry are on a run of form now that they have the momentum. Bowes have injuries. And if the likes of Parkhouse, you know, he's been exceptional this year for a 19-year-old just leading the line for Derry.
Yeah.
But Derry were missing a few players from Cove. Darren Cole was out with knee injury. Greg Sloggett. They failed the late fitness test, and Conor Davis was suspended. But the likes of Parkhouse has been—he's been great.
Yeah, we've seen Bowes in the past go up there and get good results. They've got a big crowd of travelling support going.
I think there's a couple of buses going as far as I heard.
There is, yeah. But like as you alluded to there, the injuries—they need to get a couple of those guys back. Like even the likes of Ward or Buckley, Mandrew, You know, Livingston as well, I think nearly gets overlooked sometimes. I think Livingston's been one of the most key players for Bohemians this season.
Has. Someone that just will get in there and do that dirty work, because you need someone, you need a grafter in a team with a bunch of flary kids up top. You know what I mean? So if you want to let them play, then you need a Bucco or a Livingston, someone to just not afraid to get in there. And you're going to need that in Derry as well, because they're going to set up, you know, they're going to be, there's going to be motivation from losing the EA Sports Cup in the manner that they did, and no better man to get a team G'd up for a match than Declan Devine. So,
what did you see from the game at the weekend in Derry that might be concerning Keith Long in regards to the threats that Derry have? And, like, you know, I suppose even looking at the Waterford game, Bowes undone by a set piece. I don't know, I haven't, I hold my hands up, I haven't seen Derry in a while now, but where are their kind of threats, do you think?
I think they're quick. You know, they can really hit you. The likes of Junior, Jamie McDonough out wide right, who is excellent as well. Yeah. Bruna has been excellent for them. Now, he did go off with an injury at half time. Darren McCauley came on. Declan Vine has referenced him as the best midfielder in the league. He's a big fan of him, and he has been. He's been really solid for them. But I think it's well that they can hit you quick. So if you have Junior running at, if Pender plays, you know, he'll have his hands full with Junior out wide left. And again, Parkhouse, who I think has been brilliant, you know. Forgive me, Declan Devine, but if I was Shamrock Rovers, I'm trying to sign David Parkhouse 100%.
Yeah,
you know, because I think he's so young as well that he's got a few years, you know, to go as in that. And again, Owen Toll has been really good centre half. Ali Gilchrist has signed on there as well. So they've just got strength in the right departments. So, you know, you've got two big, you know, burly centre halves, and you've got a few lads that can hit you on the break as well. So they're a well drilled outfit, not to be too cliched about it.
And without Bowes have injuries in the key places where Derry can hurt them as well, and that's the midfield. Like, that's the Keith Ward, Conor Livingston, Keith Buckley, Mandrew. That's the core of a midfield that could possibly be starting against Derry at the weekend.
They would all be, I'd say, bar Ward maybe, would be back. They would all be starting for sure.
So it's going to be difficult for them. It's going to be tough.
Definitely tasty.
I mean, it's going to be a great game.
It's one of several big games this year that have been. Yeah. And all the big games they've succeeded in their expectations.
Absolutely. They haven't started using Bloor Park Life as a chant for Parkhouse yet. Yeah. Chance, have they? They
I don't
definitely
think so.
Should.
They should. They should. I mean, they're too caught up with the undertones up there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Brilliant stuff. Well, listen, Shane, it's been great having you here.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And hopefully, we might get to chat to you a bit more over next season when you're up with the big boys in the top flight.
By all means, I'll be back here as an impartial League of Ireland reporter.
Brilliant stuff. Ella, thank you very much.
Yes, they will.
Thanks for listening or watching, folks, and we'll be back. Back to you next week with the LOI Score podcast on Off the Ball. Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.